the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell the disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, once again, as it is year after year after year, finally our long Lenten season is over. Finally, Lent is over. Who gave up anything for Lent? None of you gave? Oh, AJ did. Okay. You give up chocolate?
I give up food.
Really? Yeah, well, people who came to our Lent meals know I gave up a little bit of food for Lent, too. In fact, my jacket, I can button my jacket like never before. Fits better now than the day I bought it 20-some years ago. You know, that long Lenten journey, it's long for a lot of reasons, and sometimes we give things up. But the other thing that makes it long is Lent calls us to contemplate the whole reason why Jesus came in the first place, because we're sinners. And so finally, that season's over. And finally, we have the day of resurrection. It's finally here. Finally, we're able to shout for joy that we know that we are forgiven. We know that we shall live forever because Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, and Jesus will come again. He has triumphed over sin and the grave, so we too shall live for eternity in God's kingdom. You know, it's the story that we've heard so many times before. Yet it's such good news, it bears repeating again and again and again and again. We can't help but share it as often as we can. And we know the story so well. You know, Jesus, who was known by his friends to be executed at the order of Pontius Pilate, there outside the city gates, at basically what amounted to the city dump, the hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. He was known by his family to have died. He was known by all of those witnesses to have been buried, and the tomb was known by everyone to be sealed with a large boulder. They witnessed these things. They witnessed him take his last breath. They saw him laid in the grave. They saw that his body was wrapped in linen cloths. They saw that the tomb was sealed. There was no mistaking it whatsoever. Jesus of Nazareth was dead. Yet today, we shout, "Jesus is alive." We know that he was alive. We know that he was resurrected to new life. Not only was he raised to new life, but he appeared to people. We know this because there were eyewitnesses of the account. He presented himself early on that first morning to Mary out there in the garden. He presented himself later to Peter and John and the rest of the disciples. He appeared to them again and again after his resurrection. There was no doubt about it. Jesus was alive. They showed him. He showed them the hands and the feet that were pierced by nails. He showed them his side that had been pierced by a spear. There was no mistaking it. This was the same man that hung on the cross. This was the same man that had been crucified, died, and was buried, yet he was alive. You know, that first Easter day, someone's out there shouting at the top, "Don't take him out." That's good. That's music to the church's ears right there. It's welcome to stay and scream. That's fine. What a wonderful thing. That's just one more proof that Jesus is alive, because the generations go on and on and on. The generations of God people. And even the youngest can't help but shout it. But you know what strikes me as odd on this Easter day? Every single Easter, when I read the Easter stories from the Gospels, you know the thing that strikes me odd all the time? It's despite that all the things that Jesus did, all the things that Jesus said, the miracles that he performed, the wondrous signs of God's love for God's people at the hand of Jesus, after all of those things, that Easter morning, nobody expected it to be true. Nobody thought that after he was killed, that they would ever see him again. It strikes me that after that episode in the upper room, when Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood, and I won't drink this cup again till I drink it new with you all in God's kingdom." It strikes me odd that there in that episode in Gethsemane, as Jesus was off praying and Peter, James, and John were sleeping by his side and the big mob came, after all of these things, nobody ever expected to see Jesus alive again. They all forgot his words. They all forgot, especially the remaining 11 disciples. They forgot that Jesus said three times, according to Mark, "The Son of Man must be handed over. He must be tortured, crucified. He must die and be raised again on the third day." You read the narratives of the resurrection. No one stood watch at the tomb. No one. No one waited to see if indeed Jesus would rise. When Jesus died, their hopes died. When Jesus died, their convictions died. When Jesus died, even their faith seemed to die. You know, the disciples hid away together for fear of the Jews. They hid in that room and beyond locked doors. You know, they had celebrated the Passover with Jesus. They had heard his words. Yet they hid in fear of the authorities, that the authorities might do to them what they did to Jesus. You know, nobody thought that would happen. Peter didn't think that it would happen. Peter, who denied him three times. You know, John didn't believe it. James didn't believe it. They abandoned Jesus there in the garden. It seemed nobody thought it would happen. Jesus' resurrection was discovered in a most unlikely of way. It was discovered by women who were going to the tomb, who didn't believe Jesus was alive either. They were taking spices to finish the burial rite. They were the ones who discovered that Jesus was raised. Jesus had foretold it. And despite all of that, despite all they had seen, all they had heard, they didn't believe. Imagine what the world would be like if the story of Jesus Christ ended with Mark's last verse of his gospel. They didn't tell anyone because they were so afraid. Imagine if the story of Jesus of Nazareth, who once was crucified but was raised, ended right there. They didn't tell anyone because they were afraid. Can you begin to imagine a life without hope? Can you begin to imagine a life without love? Can you begin to imagine a life without anything to look forward to? I know that you can't imagine those things, and you can't imagine them because Jesus isn't dead. God raised him just like he said he would. And this is what we believe. And this is why we have hope. This is why we have joy. Mark tells us that very early in the morning, just after the sun had risen, some women went to the tomb of Jesus, and they came to prepare to finish the job of the burial rite. They came to prepare Jesus in their overwhelming grief. They really hadn't had time to process all the things that had gone on. They knew they had to finish the burial rite according to the law, according to what was customary. They had to do these things. So they came to prepare that. And when they got there, they found that the great stone had been rolled away, that barrier which separated them between themselves and their Lord. Not only that, when they looked inside the tomb, the body of Jesus was missing. Yet there was a man, a young man in the tomb, and he asked him, "Who are you looking for?" "Don't be looking for Jesus. You're not going to find him. He's not here. He told you. He's going to Galilee. He'll see you there. He's raised." Mark says the women ran away because fear had gripped them and they told no one. But we know they did. We know they told people. They told people, but it wasn't until after they encountered the risen Christ. It wasn't until they saw for themselves Jesus. It wasn't until Jesus met Mary in the garden and said, "Here I am, I'm risen, go tell the rest of the disciples. Tell the disciples and tell Peter, especially tell Peter. He denied me three times, go tell him. Tell him to come see me in Galilee." Understanding the story as we do, we can imagine the hope. We can imagine the joy, the elation as these women heard the good news. After it finally sunk in, Jesus truly is alive. Once they encountered the risen Christ for themselves, there's no keeping that joy in. Unbridled joy, unbridled happiness. And praise God that they told people, because if they didn't tell anybody, we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know that our sins are forgiven. We wouldn't know that through Christ we have hope for eternal life in God's kingdom. Praise God, because these women finally got over their fears. After an encounter with Jesus, they went and they told the disciples and Peter. It's because of this resurrection story. It's because of this encounter with Jesus. It's because of this encounter with the risen Christ and the good news that surrounds it. It's because of this that we're here today. It's because of this that we can come and we can celebrate on a day like today in a way that we never would have dreamed of celebrating before. It happened. Listen again to what St. Paul writes. After he found out the good news from Christ himself on that Damascus road, listen to what St. Paul writes in our second lesson. What I received, I passed on. What I receive, I passed on. I was passed on to you as a first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, also in accordance with the Scriptures. This is what we preach. This is what we praise God for. This is what we believe. And we pass it on to others as a first importance, not as an afterthought, not as something that we do at the end, after we have breakfast or after we've got our chores done or after we've spent the day at work. We do this as a first importance wherever we may go, wherever we may be, wherever, you know, whoever we may meet. We pass it on that it happened just as God said it would according to the Scriptures. And if nobody wants to believe you, give them the Scriptures and have them read it for themselves. It's just like God said. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the resurrection is real. It did happen. And it's so important to us that we Christians have staked our lives on it. Christ's resurrection is the center of our faith. It's the foundation on which our lives are built. And it's the goal that we live towards every single day, to be reunited with the one who was crucified, died, yet he lives. It's the first importance to us. as children of our living Father, as God's people claimed in baptism, we joyfully share the good news of the resurrection. As people saved by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus, as we prepare to receive Jesus' body and his blood, that same body and blood which was raised to the right hand of the Father in glory, we understand that we are people called to serve our loving God, to share the good news for the sake of the world. Hope, and to give hope where there is despair, to give light where there is darkness. Like the Apostle Paul, like Peter, like James, like John, like all of the apostles and the evangelists and the saints after them. It's too good of news to keep to ourselves. We have to tell it again and again and again, because those who believe are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus. To proclaim Christ crucified and risen is to do the mission of God throughout the world. It's to help people overcome their doubts and their fears. It's to help them to realize that God loves them so much that he would give his only begotten Son to take their place upon the cross, to shed his blood and die their death so that they might be forgiven. He loves them so much that he would raise his Son from the grave, that all who would believe in him would also be raised. People of God, today we share the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We share the sacrament of the bread of life and the cup of blessing. That which gives us life. Jesus says, unless you eat this bread, you have no life in you. We have life in us because Jesus is alive. We have life enough because we eat the bread of life. We drink his blood. We share the sacrament of forgiveness. We share the sacrament of communion. And in the celebration of life, we share the power of Christ's love. A love so amazing. A love so divine. A love so powerful that it saves our lives. It saves our very souls for eternity. Praise be to God the Father, who raises the dead to life. Praise be to Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, who shares his life and pours it out for the children of God. And praise be to the Holy Spirit, the one who leads us in faith, the one who makes us God's children, the one who enables us to believe that Christ Jesus is indeed our Lord. And praise to the Lord, who once was dead, but now he lives forevermore. Praise be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen.